Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan and the CBS Sports Network.
And we're coming to you live from the Built Four Tough Studio. Boris Eisen, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are on the free Odyssey app, good Wednesday morning. We are back in studio all together. I hadn't seen Eddie Scazzeri in 2.5 weeks, so it was good to see him back in the building talking some baseball and two teams going in different directions. Yes, the Yankees are going to be fine. They're going to win the AL East, but what team are we going to get in the postseason as they drop another one last night? Frustrating as hell. The guy that they wanted to trade for in Luis Castillo shuts them down for a majority of the game. They have three hits. They run themselves out of innings in extra innings. They have the bases loaded, nobody out, can't score, and then lose in 13. And the Mets, on the other side of things, continue to roll, beating up on the Reds. A win streak again that we hadn't seen a lot of earlier in the season is now up to 5, and they are dominating at over 30 games over 500 at this point. And we're going to see Scherzer and DeGrom again right around the corner. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Good morning, G. I'm doing great. And watching the Mets play last night, you know, it actually is now appointment TV. It really is. I mean, when you think about where they have been and where they are going to and the way that they have played, especially over the last couple weeks, and with everybody being healthy, it's like you can't wait for the game to start. And last night you get the delay and then you get the tarp out. We get the storms around here. And then, you know, the game gets started and you're like, literally, it's like the Mets are back. They are legitimately back, and as I was saying yesterday, they're amazing again, and that's the great part of all of this. And just watching it and watching Francisco Lindor be right in the middle of everything again offensively, and that's exactly the guy that they had signed last year, that big contract. Whatever happened last year is completely gone. And Carrasco, for the most part, pitched really well last night. So that's four outings really, you know, pitched well by Mets starters. And that's exactly what, you know, you'll hope you have going forward. So, I don't know, the crowds are getting bigger. The expectations you can feel are getting more and more and more and more and more. And quite frankly, with the Yankees scuffling right now, the Mets have now passed them in overall record. The Mets are playing about as good as anybody in baseball. They're not getting thrown out on the bases. They're not making mistakes. They're playing sound, fundamental buck baseball. And it is a joy to watch. It is an absolute joy to watch. And this is exactly what we as Met fans had been hoping for when Steve Cohen took over.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about 33 games over 500, 72-39. I mean, these seasons don't happen with the Mets. They just don't throughout the history of the organization. Regular seasons like this do not happen. They're projected to win over 100 games. They've now got the 7-game lead on the Braves. There's no letdowns with them at all, and they really could separate themselves even more in the division coming up with more games against the Phillies and more games against the Braves. And everybody that goes out there and takes them out, even though Taijuan Walker had a crappy start the last time out, I mean, you've got confidence in every single one of them. I mean, Carlos Carrasco has been phenomenal. He's got guys waving at the slider last night. He's been winning a ton of games this year. So it's just everything about this team, other than maybe that bridge to Diaz when you need it in big games. I mean, you feel like they're just stacked.
Yeah. You feel like there's no holes.
You know, I have to say that over the last 4 years, right, even though I'm not an Islander fan, it was appointment watching through COVID.
Sure.
It was because they were having success and they were winning.
Nobody else was around here.
Well, no, everybody else was around here because that was the only thing going on.
No, I'm saying that no other team was.
Oh, yeah. Okay, right. Yeah. Exactly. Then last year for me, the New York Rangers came out of nowhere and played their asses off, and Drury made some great trades. That was great. And now finally we have, at least on our side of the ledger, a Met team that is appointment TV watching. It's like, it's great when they're winning, man. It is great when they're winning, and it's great when they actually hire legitimate guys that you can really get behind. And, you know, and nothing against Luis Rojas or Mickey Callaway or any of those guys. They were novices. You know, they finally got like an adult manager, and the manager, you know, they went out and they got, what I love what they did this offseason, and you don't really truly appreciate it until you watch it starting to unfold. And it can be, it unfolds in a lot of different ways. So the most important guy that they brought in this offseason, other than Buck Showalter, was Max Scherzer. And Max Scherzer, when he's on the mound, is a completely different animal. And everybody plays to him. He goes quick. He pitches quick. Everybody's in the game. He's a freaking bulldog on the mound. And you didn't realize that until you watch him every single game. So, but then you think about the other little bits and pieces that they added to this team and discarded some other players that had been here a couple of years, 3 or 4 years. So when you bring in like a Starling Marte and he has a season like he's having, a Mark Canna, you know, who's had his moments, you know, like an Escobar, who I know has been up and down, but still a good fielder at third base and has it had his moments. And you just think about those players that round out that locker room and the success that they've had since they've been here. You know, that's one of the reasons why they have such a, you know, like I think a good clubhouse. Like the clubhouse was fractured last year.
Yeah, and a lot of that had to do with Francisco Lindor, which was concerning coming into this season because I said, you know, think about the contract that he's got. He's not going anywhere. Obviously, he had an issue with the fans. Didn't look like he was adjusting to New York all that well. Javi Baez comes in, his buddy. We got thumbs down, and it's a mess. And I'm thinking, Lindor's making him do that. Coming into the year, I'm like, I don't know what to expect from this guy. And he was terrible offensively, too. And he's turned it completely around. He looks like one of the best guys in the clubhouse. He hugs everybody. He's smiling all the time.
Well, you know
he's
what
a leader.
You know what he is? He's going through the metamorphosis that your boy Edwin Diaz went through.
Sure.
Now, yeah. He wasn't as bad as Edwin Diaz was when Edwin first got here. But now both of those guys are central figures in the entire success of the team. And both of those guys now realize, on the good side of things, what it means to play here in New York and win here in New York. Because they're feeling it. They're feeling it from the fans, and the fans are appreciating the effort. And, you know, when you see Lindor's diving in the home plate or diving into second base, you know, the effort's there, the smile's there, the production is there, and the team is winning. So this is prime example of what it means, you know, to be here in New York and be successful and be the guy that you got paid to be once you got here.
Sure. And the offensive season is really good. I mean, it's not $340 million good, but it's really, really good.
It's top. Look, I think he's about third in RBIs or something.
Yeah, I mean, he hit his 20th home run last night.
Yeah, I mean, so, and look, all I can tell you is that there was a point in time where Giant fans couldn't stand Eli Manning. They couldn't stand him.
Yeah.
And, you know, we started here, and it was like, get rid of him, get rid of him, get rid of him. And then out of the blue, they go to the Super Bowl, and then he becomes one of the most beloved athletes New York has ever seen. And I don't know how else to put it other than you got to turn it off, you got to stop listening to all the negativity, and then try to become the player that everybody knows you can be. And that's exactly what Lindor has done. That's what Edwin Diaz has done. And that's part of, like, you know, why this is so enjoyable watching those guys. Because it, you know, I know I make fun and I compare Edwin Diaz to Mariano and everything. That's just to tweak Yankee fans a little bit. But let's face it. You know, when Edwin Diaz comes in now with the trumpets and all that other stuff, I mean,
that's become like a national sensation now.
Yeah, exactly.
Like everybody's talking about
it's crazy.
It. People are filming videos of themselves running into work with the song. Maggie Gray did that yesterday, I saw, with the trumpets going as she ran into the CBS Sports Network studio. It's become like a thing.
It is.
Everywhere, not just here. I mean, people are paying attention to the Mets. And with every win, the expectations are growing, though. Because this is
that's what you want.
Exactly. But this is what happens, especially for a fan base that hasn't seen ton of championships.
When you hear the players, like in the post game, like on the field interviews with like Steve Gelbs, every single one of them is like, the atmosphere is great. The atmosphere is wonderful. You know, as an athlete, that's what you want. I mean, that's what you're trying to build to. Like, you want to play in that atmosphere. When the Rangers were playing at the Garden this year, and, you know, and the fans are standing half the game and they're screaming and yelling. Or, you know, it's just, it's amazing when you're a part of something like that. And we've, like you said, we very rarely see it with this particular organization. But then with the other organization, the Yankees, it's always World Series or bust. And I have to say, I didn't see the game last night. I did get in here this morning and I did watch some of the highlights. And I just really, wanted to see exactly how, Gerrit Cole was going to respond.
Yeah.
And he responded.
He was great.
He responded.
He stayed in the game, went over 100 pitches. He was brilliant last night. And I always feel like he doesn't put together bad starts in a row. And I thought that he would come out and he'd be really, really good. But didn't part of you think, like, man, if the Yankees would have been able to get Luis Castillo, how much more dominant would they be? Now, I know we're going to give Frankie Montas another chance because his first start after the whole losing a family member and everything else was just a mess for him, his schedule and showing up. But, I mean, if those two guys who were battling it out yesterday were on the same team, and I know that the Mariners paid a ton to get Luis Castillo, but, I mean, we've seen him three times now against the Yankees, once as a member of the Reds, twice as a member of the Mariners, and the guy's been phenomenal every single time. I mean, that 1-2 punch would have been one of the best, you know, not like Scherzer and DeGrom, but it would have been pretty damn good. Would have been the best in the American League.
Well, let's give Frankie Montas a chance. I know that Luis Castillo is a proven commodity, you know, without question, a proven commodity and the most sought after guy. And that's why I think Seattle, like, jumped the gun. Like, they went before everybody else.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing, too, also, we were talking about the loss of Carpenter for the Yankees. Now it's, you know, it's, what's his name? Miguel Andujar.
Yeah.
It's his turn now. Now, he was in a game last night, didn't do much. But the point being is that now he has yet another opportunity to show that he belongs here. Just remember when they sent him down, how ticked off he was. I don't blame him because he was playing well when he was here last time.
I mean, he finished second in Rookie of the Year that first year. He was up only to Shohei Ohtani. That's how good he was.
Yeah, but I'm talking about this year when he was up here this year.
Like, no, I know.
Sent him down, I think... Like, so now, Carpenter's gone. You know, there's a chance we may not see him for the rest of the season.
A very good chance.
Right. So now it's up to him now. This is where the opportunities start to present themselves. You know, it's the injuries, whether it be, you know, a baseball player, NBA player, hockey player, whatever. You never know when your opportunity is going to present itself. And once again, Miguel Andujar has another opportunity.
Yeah.
For all the Yankee fans out there where they're ticked off that they sent him down and they kept Joey Gallo. You know, I think people forgot that he was still down there when Carpenter got hurt. And I was like, all right, next man up, and here comes the next man.
No, he was the forgotten man. There's no doubt about it. In years past, we've talked about this, how the Yankees have dealt with injuries has been phenomenal. They're always calling guys up, and they always have a next man up, and people are producing. This year, it has not been like that. You know, they've been losing guys, and they've been losing games.
Well, Carpenter is the one guy that has been that way.
Well, yeah, he's been great, but the Yankees, for the most part, have been healthy this year.
Except for now, Stanton, Rizzo, and then, of course, Carpenter.
That's so now guys. You've now hit that injury patch, and they can feel it.
It's 1/3 of your lineup is out.
Yeah. I mean, they've lost 6 out of 7 now. They continue, and I never thought we'd be in a position here in early August, at August 10th, where the Mets would have a better record than the Yankees. Because, I mean, the Yankees were rolling. I mean, I know that pace that they were on was probably unrealistic. There had to be some sort of regression to the mean with them, but... I mean, the surging Mets and the Yankees slipping back. I mean, the fact that they've got a better record than them now, it, like, blows me away.
Well, it just goes to show you how long the season really is.
I know.
And it doesn't mean the Yankees can't get it back at any point, but it doesn't seem like... It just seems like they're in a dull malaise right now.
Yeah.
And, like I said, they're missing 1/3 of their lineup, and, you know, it's like, last time was a hell of a baseball game. That game lasted 4 hours, and it went in 13 innings. And only one run was scored.
I think it ended about 4 hours ago. Yeah. It was like 2:15. I think the game ends.
I know, man, but man, you know what this is all coming down to? I mean, for both of these teams now, it comes down to October baseball. That's it. I mean, I want to enjoy the ride. That's part of it. That's part of the fun, and that's why Met baseball is must watch baseball now.
Yeah, and if you think about it, like enjoying the ride is easier for the Mets fan because of all the terrible seasons that we've seen over the last number of years. Whereas for a Yankee fan, they always make the playoffs. They always have great regular seasons. They're always winning games. And then you become impatient, and then you have to go to the playoffs and cross your fingers. You know, with the Mets, it's like, God, we never get this.
I can hear it now, man. I don't really want to predict negativity, but man, if the Yankees don't make it,
Aaron Boone.
No, not Aaron Boone. Brian Cashman, because it's going to be Frankie Montas versus Luis Castillo.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like that is going to be the crux of everything. I mean, injuries happen, and it's unfortunate what happened to the Carpenter. But that, to me, that's the crux of everything. Especially
Brian Cashman sucks.
Well, I don't think so. But the fact that you, you brought up Castillo's last three starts, and two of them came against the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, he's been unbelievable. I mean, in the way, just everything about him, he just looks like a big game pitcher. You know, walking off the mound and clapping. He's into it. If they would have had Cole and Castillo in that rotation, I mean, my goodness, those two guys battling it out last night, you really saw what they can do in big spots, because the Mariners, I mean, they're having a great season too for them, and they really went for it because they haven't been to the playoffs since 2001. They were like, screw it, screw the prospects, we don't care, we're going to trade you 1, 3, and 5 or whatever, three of their top five prospects to go get Luis Castillo because it's that important to them.
All right, so Montas is going to be pitching Saturday at the Red Sox.
Okay,
that's his next start for the Yankees.
All right, we'll see.
And that's going to be an interesting place to be starting.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So hopefully he's got his feet back underneath him and he can just relax and they can work with him and they can talk to him and they can figure out who he is and how they're going to approach the Red Sox hitters and everything else like that. And he gets himself up off the mat and he shows you that he's going to be a reason why they're going to win.
I mean, they absolutely need him. I mean, he is supposed to be, after this trade, the number two starter for the Yankees in the postseason. Like, that's what they traded for. I mean, to me, it should be Cortez, but that's what they traded for Montas for.
I still think that they're thinking that Cortez is like,
I just don't know. Can't
we're happy.
Him.
We're happy with what he's doing. It's an amazing story, but it just, I don't think that they're in love with, the whole thing. You watched Castillo and Cole pitch last night, and watching those highlights, I mean, you could see that those guys, you know, they got gas. They're not trying to fool anybody. They can pinpoint their pitches when they're on. I don't necessarily know that that's, Cortez.
It's not, but he's effective, and he's been great for an extended period of time.
He has been, so.
Yeah, I mean, even last year, into this year. So I think it's time to trust him in the biggest moments.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right,
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. A Yankee game that ended just a few hours ago and another Mets win. That's what Jerry Recco's got for us in an update. Good morning, Jerry. What's going on?
Good morning. Powered by Superbook. Now open with better odds and favorable prices. We're also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And just a small sample of what happened last night for the Yankees. I take you to the 12th inning of a scoreless game in Seattle. The Yankees batting.
Curveball, comeback, right to the mound. Backhanded pick by Brash. They got Trevino caught in a rundown between second and third. Suarez makes the tag. Throw to second. IKF wheels around, and he's thrown out of the base paths. The umpire says he is out. Brandon Miller called him out of the base paths. The Yankees run themselves into two outs immediately.
And that was Justin Shackle on the fan.
That's disgraceful.
Filling in for John Sterling, as we know. And then you take it to the 13th, and the Mariners would win the game.
The pitch. Swung on, line drive, past Torres into right field. It's a base hit. Suarez scores from third, and the game is over.
1-0, your final score in 13. Again, Justin Shackle, the call on the fan. Luis Torrens with the game-winning RBI single off of Jonathan Loaisiga, who really made himself a mess in that 13th. And so the Yankees fall. They fall to 71-40 on the season with this loss. Here was Aaron Boone. Obviously, the big theme was the base running, because it wasn't just what happened in the 12th inning. You had another situation in the 10th involving Andrew Benintendi.
Yeah, three straight innings that ran themselves out of the inning.
Very, you had the double play on the line drive. Exactly. Here was Boone. Knows got to be better there.
Obviously, you know, where runs are really tough to come by. You know, it's been one of the real strengths of this team, so I don't want us to lose our aggressiveness, but obviously we got to be a little smarter.
Are you laughing at him and or Eddie in your headset?
No, both, yeah. Actually. But no, the was the thing I was laughing at.
It's about right. Here was Kiner Falefa. We played the highlight. He says, you know what? I actually did the right thing. Just didn't work out.
There's a rundown at second and third. Common baseball knowledge is you get to second, and it just didn't work out tonight. You know, like, if that happens, you have to be on second base. You have to make up the space and get back into the scoring position. And, you know, it just didn't work.
Well, not everybody believed that. Like, the analyst on Yes, Cameron Maben, a bit critical.
Yeah, IKF, you have to know you can get to second on this play. You cannot run yourself out of the inning.
Which they essentially did do. Garrett Cole, long before this game was over, 7 innings, just 4 hits. He struck out 8. Luis Castillo, 8 innings, just 4 hits, or rather 3 hits. He struck out 7. Here was Cole. We lost. They were a bit better.
It's just a well-pitched ball game on both sides. So, both teams just trying to scrap one across, and it didn't fall our way.
No, it did not. So the Mariners strapped one across. The Yankees did not, and they will play again this afternoon. Nestor Cortes facing Robbie Ray on the fan coverage at 3:30. The Yankees, however, still lead the Blue Jays by 10.5 games because the Orioles came from behind and beat Toronto last night 6-5. So another win for the O's. As for the Mets, they did get some early offense and another victory.
2-2. Lindor hammers one to left, way back. Fraley watches it fly. He leaps at the wall. It's gone. Home run, Francisco Lindor. It's a two-run homer to left. It's a 2-0 lead for the Mets.
And is it, if he's got an agent, you know he probably does, they got to get him some, like, old-time voiceover work.
Oh, of course. I mean, there's so many movies that are period pieces, yes, and stuff like that, and then back to the 20s and 30s. He has to have an agent. It's perfect.
You would certainly think so. Anyway, that was Wayne Randazzo on WCBS 880. Lindor, the two-run homer in the third. Mets on their way to a 6-2 win over the Reds. Win number 72 on the season for the Mets, who have won 5 in a row and 14 of 16. Jeff McNeil, 2-4, a home run, an RBI single. Impressed, Buck Showalter.
He just doesn't give. He's chasing base hits every time he's in the box. It means a lot to him to get a hit and not make an out.
And when he does make an out, as we see, he usually loses his mind. Here was Carlos Carrasco speaking of doing his job. 6 2/3. He's 13-4. ERA of 3.76. He had 9 strikeouts last night. He goes, that's what they pay me to do.
You know what? I'm going to be taking every 5 days. So I'm just going to go make my pitches. And
It's a big opportunity over there, like today. It was a lot of slide out of the zone. They just swing it. No, that's good for us.
That's good for them, absolutely. So they will continue to lead the Braves by 7 games. The Braves won in Boston, and you get Taiwan Walker going this afternoon, 110 out at Citi Field. The one other note from that Brave win over the Red Sox, their second baseman, Orlando Arcia, injured his hamstring and going right to the injured list. So a little beaten up there. Manny Machado, a game-winning 3-run homer. The Padres after they blew the lead in the top of the ninth.
Oh, wow.
They had a 3-run lead. No, a 2-run lead? I forget what it was. Anyhow, they had a lead. They blow the lead in the top of the ninth, and then Machado hits the home run to win it. The Dodgers win again 9 straight. They beat the Twins 10-3. And this Shohei Ohtani is something special.
Next pitch, Shohei drives the ball deep out into right field, and this one is out of here. He jumped on that pitch. Ohtani's second hit of the night. A home run for Shohei.
And yeah, his 25th of the season. He also pitched, won the game, his 10th win of the season. He joins Babe Ruth in 1918 as the only players in Major League history to have at least 10 home runs and 10 wins in the same season. Here's his manager. I'm not sure if he's still I think he's still the interim manager, Phil Nevin. He knows Ohtani's making history.
We try not to take for granted what we're seeing every night, but it's pretty awesome to be a part of. Certainly is. He's a great teammate in here. So these things don't go by us lightly.
Nope, can't take him for granted.
He's going to trade him, right?
Right. He's going to look great in a Met uniform.
He might.
I mean, is the reason that they would trade him is they just can't fathom paying him $50 million a year or more?
I've even read more. You got to pay him as a pitcher and a hitter. I've read somewhere, theorizing he could get $60, $65 million a year.
The only problem is, if he comes to the Mets, he's going to have to change his number.
Well, I don't even know. What number does he wear?
17.
Oh. That's right.
Change his number.
Retired.
Yes, he will.
Molloy in the box is, we just retired that.
That is right. Who said some very strange things yesterday on the broadcast last night.
Keith?
About the Phillies.
I'll give you, I was going to play this next hour, but since you brought it up.
No idea.
It is long, but I'll play it. Stop it when you want. I got to find it here. I thought he was going to say,
I just don't want to go to Philadelphia.
And I don't know where this came from, but this was Keith and Ron, Keith and Gary.
I've expressed to the front office, not the Met front office, our front office of SNY, that I hate doing Philly games. So I guess they gave me to get the series off.
You hate doing Philly games?
Oh, because they always never seem to... up and in fastball. They never seem to disappoint. I mean, over the years, now they're hot right now. I would like to see them. But, as far as fundamentally and defensively, the Phillies have always been just, not up to it.
Maybe we can shoehorn you into the schedule now that they're playing well and maybe up to your standards.
Well, we'll see.
Then he says, don't hold your breath.
Hold on.
Which I love.
Was that the end here?
Yeah.
Don't hold your breath.
Right, exactly. I thought he was just going to say, I can't stand going to Philly games down at Citizens Bank Park. That's what I thought he was going to say.
So bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, over the years, think of any teams and the changes and the rosters and everything. And just,
Philly sucks.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Right. And I don't think he was trying to just troll Phillies fans. I think he honestly went to SNY management and said, don't give me Phillies games. I don't want to watch them play bad defense.
I don't think he's lying. I don't think he's telling you exactly what's going on.
Strange.
Anyhow, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell spoke yesterday because you're the league approving the Broncos' new ownership. We'll get to that in a moment. They are seeking a tougher penalty for Deshaun Watson beyond the 6 games that Watson got. Here was Goodell, it's 19 seconds, talking about why he wants to appeal this.
Because we've seen the evidence. She was very clear about the evidence. She reinforced the evidence that there was multiple violations here. They were egregious, and it was predatory behavior. Those are things that we felt, always felt were really important for us to address in a way that's responsible.
And I guess from everything I've seen, they want at least a year. So right now it's 6. We will see if that does
this way his contract is written.
Right.
Yeah. But does the Players Association now take this thing to court because of
Well, they will if the arbitrator now or the appeal person now ups it, I'm sure they're going to go to, federal court.
Well, we'll see. Meantime, as I said, the league did approve the sale of the Broncos to the Walton Penner Group. Now, do you remember back in the day when the Cowboys introduced Bill Parcells as their new head coach and Jerry Jones kept calling him Bill Parcells?
Yeah, yeah.
Probably because of the accent, yeah, I would think.
Bill Parcells.
Yeah. And he did eventually fix it. Here's Rob Walton in his introductory press conference.
Thank you, everybody. It's great to see you today. And I'd like to thank Roger Goodell, Commissioner Goodell.
Oh my God, we're so excited to become
officially a part of the Broncos.
Goodell.
This is the guy you're working with.
This guy, Roger Goodell's name has been in the news for like 20 years.
Thank you, everybody. It's great to see you today. And I'd like to thank Roger Goodell.
Commissioner Goodell.
Goodell.
And then he backed it up, too. It's not like he misspoke.
Oh, man.
Commissioner Goodell.
So you don't think that's the accent?
No.
No.
This guy's just so rich, he hasn't paid attention to anything. He was just like, I want to buy a football team.
Woo-hoo! That's what it seems like. Rams coach Sean McVay announced that he did sign an extension with the team during the offseason. The Lions are on Hard Knocks. Head coach Dan Campbell made it quite clear, do your job or I'm coming for you.
Doesn't matter if you have one ass cheek and three toes, I will beat your ass.
I don't care if you have four penises and six noses. I'm going to beat the hell out of you.
Come on, you got to love this guy. I mean, he's going to be a star. Oh, he is a star.
I do. I do. Let's see if they can win games. And if they don't, Jamal Williams, I guess he's a running back on the Lions, he might lose his mind. He was also on a Hard Knocks talking to the team.
Well, let y'all know, man, today is the minimum of effort. Do not give up. Do not feel like you're tired. Were you tired? Think of last year and think of that f***ing record. Every time I get tired or I think I can't go no more, I think of that f***ing record. Last year wasn't it. That ain't us. We can make it. Have some heart. I get emotional about this. I'm about to cry.
It doesn't matter if you have one ass cheek and three toes. I will beat your ass.
I will beat your ass.
Oh, my God.
I have two penises.
I'll beat your ass, Al.
I don't care. That all these years doing the podcast. Who knew?
You know, I had a friend who played for the Eagles and the late Andre Waters, right? He had a really bad stuttering problem.
Yeah.
And he tried to address the team. You could just imagine how that went.
Yeah.
And how the team reacted to that.
I'm sure.
And when I hear stuff like this,
it reminds you.
Just reminds me of like when we all kind of did it somewhere along the line. Like we had to get up and we had to feel like we had to bare our souls to our teammates and scream at them.
Yeah. I'm about to cry.
A little emotional, for sure.
Oh, my God. I love it.
That's funny. And lastly, Kyrie Irving's agent, his stepmother, told the Post Tuesday that he is about peace and love and does not hate Steve Nash, does not hate Sean Marks, adding has no idea where that story came from or those comments came from.
Okay. So that is the latest with Kyrie Irving.
So he's good.
So he's good, and he's going to be on the Nets next year.
With Kyrie. I'm with Kyrie right now. I am with that.
He's going to be on the Nets next
year.
He's
about peace, love, and acceptance.
Yeah.
Acceptance. Why does she have to put acceptance in there?
I don't know.
How about peace and love?
Peace and love. I didn't add the acceptance. Sorry.
Yeah, peace and love. Thank you, Jerry. Yep. We will talk to you next hour. It is Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough Studio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Want to join the show? 877-337-6666. The Yankees lose in the middle of the night, 1-0 in 13 innings to the Mariners. The Mets, after a rain delay, take care of the Reds again. Yesterday, we were at Jets camp. We didn't get official word from the Jets when we talked to Rob Saul and Joe Douglas, but you had told us right off the bat at 6 o'clock that Mekhi Becton was going to be out for the year with a kneecap fracture and a patella issue as well, and that came out a little bit later in the day, and he is done for the season, and that is the end of that. So a lot of emotion from the Jets yesterday, and Rob Sala and talking about, you know, tearing this guy down and all of this stuff, and you need to build him up, and it just seemed like even Joe Douglas, when we were talking to him about it yesterday, just seemed really down about it, and I understand why. First-round draft choice, came in, was trying to get into shape and get back to where he was early on in his rookie season, and he missed almost all of last year, and now he's going to miss all of this year.
Yeah.
So it is devastating for them, but they're going to have to figure it out. But they spent all last year without him, so they're just going to have to, I don't know if they bring in Dwayne Brown, I don't know what they're going to end up doing, but they're probably going to have to add to this offensive line somehow, some way, and Joe Douglas is going to have to flex his muscles and figure out a way to do this.
Well, you know, look, I feel bad for anybody that gets injured, and especially one that gets injured who's going to lose another year now. And, you know, it's unfortunate that now he's going to have the moniker that he's injury prone. And that leg, that right leg, is going to be a problem. I mean, it's a different injury, but it's the same leg. And, you know, he came in out of shape. He worked hard to try to get into shape, and I think he was using this time to even get into better shape before the season started. And, look, I understand everybody feels bad for him and everything, but it's the reality of the NFL. You either are on the field or you're not. They'll give him another year. They'll see what he comes back looking like next year. But I can only hope for the young man's sake that it's going to be really hard for him to keep the weight down.
Especially when you got a leg injury too. I mean, we saw this last year.
It's a big situation, and you know, I hope that he stays around. I hope that the team keeps him engaged. I think he's a guy. If you let him go away and not be around the team, I think that's where the problems arise. I think if he's around the team and he eats with the team and he goes, you know, I don't know what the rules are and all this other stuff when it comes to all these guys that get put on the injured list and all this other stuff. So I just, hey, look, at the end of the day, man, it's professional football. This is not, you know, high school football. This is, you're expected to be, you know, ready to go. You're expected to have responsibilities that you have to live up to. And I'm not so sure that he did everything that he needed to do to be in the best shape of his career. But you can only hope that this offseason, and from that starts now until next OTAs, that, you know, he is going to grow up and pay attention to his weight and be careful with it. Because it's obvious that, you know, those legs are having a hard time carrying that much weight around.
If I'm not mistaken, I think it was during a warm-up show right after Mekhi Becton had that shirt on. And one of the things that was on the shirt was injury prone. And I'm almost positive Al said, I don't like the fact that he put injury prone on the T-shirt because you can get hurt at any point. And then if he gets hurt, people are going to go back and make fun of him that he wore that shirt. Do you remember that at all?
I do not recall that.
I'm almost positive you said that. And I want to go back and look at that shirt to see if it said injury prone on it. But that's just something you can't put on that shirt. Because who knows? His weight might have contributed to this injury, or maybe it was just a freak thing. Who knows? But if all that stuff that he was saying early on, it just doesn't look good now.
Yeah, well, I would just, you know, and then it seems like they're trying to softly motivate him. You know, they're not in his face. You know, they're trying to be sympathetic. They're trying to be compassionate. They're trying to be empathetic, I guess you would say. And they're trying to make him, you know, they all feel bad for him, of course, because they know that, you know, he struggled with his weight and he got hurt last year. And this is your teammate. And, you know, he certainly was supposed to be a big part of the team. I think it's a huge loss for them, especially if he was as motivated as they say he was.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the shirt now. It absolutely did say injury prone on it as one of the things that people talked about. You know, fat, lazy, out of shape, bum, sucks, overweight, injury prone is on that shirt.
Yeah, well, I never said any of that stuff. I just said that he was basically fat or heavy.
Well, yeah. Added,
overweight.
Yeah, added.
Overweight. And but then it leads you to think that a guy that's overweight is lazy and is not taking care of himself.
Right.
So, you know, so many athletes nowadays, I mean, it's the 365-day-a-year job now. You know, when I played, it wasn't like that. And now all these athletes, I don't care what, you know, any sport. I mean, most of these guys are all ripped.
Oh, sure.
And I mean, their body is their temple, their body is their brand, and they take care of it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, back in the day, you always talk about the off seasons, and, you know, coming into training camp was the time that you got in shape, right?
Because we had 6 weeks of training camp.
Yeah. So if you came in a little out of shape, whatever, I'll figure it out in the next 6 weeks.
I remember running those gassers when it was, you know, 100 degrees in Wilmington, Ohio.
You had to run gassers?
Oh, absolutely.
NFL gassers. Football player?
Yes. Yeah.
I hated those. That's where you go back and forth, touch the lines.
Oh, man, it was brutal. And then they'd be screaming out times, and if you didn't get your time, then you had to do another one.
Yeah, which is just impossible because you're just getting more and more tired, so you're probably getting slower. And then you're just there.
Oh, it was brutal, man. It was brutal.
I can't believe you had to do that as an NFL player.
Right. And then in college, I think we had to do either was it a mile and a half or 2 miles on the track at Byrd Stadium at Maryland. That was like your preseason check-in.
Yeah.
And if you didn't get to the number that was assigned to your position, you had to do it again every day until you got it.
Wow. Yeah, this is stuff we did in high school. We used to run a mile with pads on.
Yeah.
On the track. That's what they made us do.
With no water.
Yeah, I know. With no water.
Right. No water breaks. You don't need a water break. But, you know, but things have changed. And, you know, you're dealing with the union. This is the whole thing about the Deshaun Watson stuff. Look, if the NFL were doing business the way that they used to do business, where the commissioner is the one that was judge, jury, and executioner, Deshaun Watson would have been suspended already. But because of the Ray Rice issue and the way that the commissioner's office was looked upon at Roger Goodell, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
So Roger Goodell was looked at. So they redid all of this, and now it's in a third party, and it's the right of the NFL to select who that guy is, and that guy now is somebody who most likely will enhance the punishment for Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, so after all that stuff and changing and going to someone like Judge Robinson and getting the determination there, it's still essentially in Roger Goodell's hands. I know he appoints somebody else, but it's someone that he appoints and probably is thinking in the same lines that he is. So, you know, after all those changes that they made, there's still a way for Roger Goodell himself. He didn't have to give it to somebody else. He could have made the decision himself.
He didn't have to appeal it.
Right. He didn't have to appeal it either. But it still ends up in his lap eventually.
Eventually. And, you know, he wants at least a year. He wants, and, you know, that's what he said at this owners' meetings yesterday. And I understand why. I'm sure that they're, you know, I'm sure they're getting enormous pressure that we don't see. You know, I'm sure that the NFL offices are bombarded with complaints and everything else. And, you know, it's a political thing. And then it's going to be up to the NFLPA now to protect their player who's a part of their union. And I'm sure they'll use arguments against Daniel Snyder and Stephen Ross and, you know, whatever other owner, Robert Kraft, that has done something in their past that they didn't get this type of penalty thrown their way.
Yeah, the Robert Kraft thing was tough, though, because there was, like, no evidence after that video was
destroyed
and not permissible in court. So, like, what do you do at that point?
Send the FBI to his house and just ransack it.
All right, it's Boomer and Chico on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.